Big weekend ahead, Michael. You guys have been working very, very hard, and going by listening to pieces that you've done with GA Go and listening to Jim Gavin, you have put in Trojan work recently. You've had a lot of things to go through, particularly after the survey, and now this, I suppose, is what's going to be, what you hope will be an end product this weekend.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, it's definitely been a lot made of it, but it has been a thorough process. I suppose when you had anybody but Jim Gavin involved in it, it was going to be that way. And in fairness, you know, right from the start, the way back in March, you know, which is, you know, to do the calculation a long number of months ago, you know, right through the league, the championship, and reviewing really where the game was at. You know, there's a lot of opinions of where the game was at. You wanted to try and surface them through the various kind of surveys that were done. And then really we looked at different metrics, you know, over the last 10, 11 years of the game to really see where the game was at. Looked at the rule book currently. That was definitely an eye-opener for myself and I think a few of the other committee members, you know, to really understand the rule book. You know, it was an eye-opener to me to, you know, just with my lack of knowledge of it. You know, you had a general high-level knowledge of it, but the little intricacies of it, you know. So after that whole lot of work, you know, that was in-person meetings and online meetings around the country and visiting games, you know, we started to, I suppose, come up and look at rule enhancements. You know, after then, you know, they were started to be trialed and tested then in various what were called sandbox games or practice games. We got club teams to play, and in recent weeks we got some development squad inter-county teams to play. And just from there, you were really filtering them down from a bigger number to a smaller number. You were looking at some of them in isolation, where you would just look at the one. And I suppose now we've really landed on these kind of seven core ones. And yeah, this weekend, looking forward to seeing them. Looking forward to seeing the Inter-Provincials back, I think, as a football fan. Looking forward to seeing them number one. Looking forward to seeing the best players getting their teeth into these new enhancements, and then looking forward also just to seeing what the general public do think, because ultimately that's what we want to do as a committee. It's not down that we want these as a group of, you know, as a committee, we want these to go forward to GA for our own selfish reasons. We want these to go forward because we want it to be a better spectacle for everybody to see. And people will get a small sample, I think, this weekend. It's only four games, but they'll get a chance to see what they look like. They'll obviously be voted on then the following week, which is a tight turnaround. But I suppose my feeling is it still will be the National League before we really get a big enough sample size to know what these really look like, you know.
Yeah. Michael, what's your opinion? Where do you think the game's at the minute? Like, we heard from Conor McKenna earlier this week, former Tyrone player, who described it as boring. Rory Began yesterday at the launch of the club championship hasn't been too impressed with how the game has been developing over the last couple of years, given that he's even a big part of it, the role he plays as a goalkeeper. Where do you think it's at, Michael Murphy?
Listen, I totally understand as the player, and when the player in the dressing room, you're a coach in the dressing room, you know, you're going out there to win for your team. And when that is the case, you want to try and control things as much as you possibly can for your team within the given fixture. And a lot of the time that might mean a game that's not free-flowing and open. I think we all, as GA followers, have come to understand and know that, and you can appreciate what teams are trying to do. You know, if you're going up against a team that's on paper a lot better than you, you know, probably the percentages for you, you're thinking, geez, I better try and keep this tight and maybe keep things tight towards the end of the game. We might be able to nick it. But I suppose that mindset and that way of being able to maybe put 15 players across your own 45 or across your own top of the D, that's kind of it was where the game was at for maybe 10 years ago to 5 years ago. Over the last 5 years, that has probably evolved now into the attacking play also. Whereas, you know, for the last 10 years, there's been defensive football. But now there's this really patient attacking football too. So we've got the two extremes on both ends of the pitch. We've got a kind of this really patient defensive display where you try and, you know, negate the opposition by putting loads of bodies in your defence. And now recently, in recent years, we've got this really attacking, you know, possession-based game where we hold on to them and we try and play the percentages to get the right shot away. So all in all, that's kind of leading to, you know, kind of slower paced game. There's just lacking in 1v1 contests, and And really what the people wanted to see and what the survey has shown is they want to see the skills of the game. They want to see 1v1s. They want to try and see high fielding, and they want to see kicking and long range scores. That's what the key responses in the survey came back. And probably the game at the moment doesn't bring them skills to the forefront. There's no doubting about it. So it's trying to create a way where there's more space for attack, where there's opportunities for teams to play quickly and play more quickly. To try and, I suppose, really negate any cynical kind of play that there is to try and hold up the attacking teams wanting to do that. So there, that's a kind of a sample of some of the rule enhancements and what you're trying to do with them, you know.
Obviously there's seven core enhancements there, but I think the ones that really stand out are the 3v3 and the way the scoring's going to change, Michael. And the 3v1, 3v3 rather, in particular, that's going to open up. Well, you would expect it to open up, and I'm sure you've seen it as well, that there's going to be lots of more space there.
That's exactly it. You know, I was probably, if being honest, probably at the beginning, I was probably a little bit more apprehensive with this one, but having, you know, really flushed it out and seen it and see how it works, I probably initially thought, like a lot of people, it would give an opportunity for the team that has the three up front to, you know, kick long passes from their defense, you know, up the field to the three bodies that are up there at the moment. Probably in most games, there's not. So the attacking team has to slowly work their way up the pitch with the ball. But probably the big learning in that one for me, and what we'll hopefully see this weekend, it's not necessarily that big kick from defense to attack that you'll see. It's actually, you can only defend with 11 players now, you know, and trying to defend, you know, the 65 and towards the goals and the whole width of the Gaelic pitch with only 11 players now definitely creates more space for the attacking team, creates more space for 1v1s, creates more space for kicking. And as a result of that, I think the kind of the durations of each attacks over the last number of years, we're so used to seeing teams, you know, going down the left, coming back out, going over to the right, back to the middle, back to the left, and looking for an opening that might take sometimes up to 2 minutes. Due to the fact there's only 11 defenders there now, it's getting to the crux where a lot quicker. They're going straight up the pitch. They might do one quick change of play and they're actually getting in for a score, or the defending team's getting a chance to turn it over. So it's getting there a lot quicker, and there's not the as long as these big attacking passages of play as there once was. So that's really the benefit we've seen so far in the 3v3. And as I say, likewise this weekend, really looking forward to seeing the best players and the best teams and intercounty players getting their teeth into it.
Yeah. Obviously, you played as full forward and you played at midfield in various roles and different systems, Michael. But I think the forwards are going to relish this because it's 1v1. And you know yourself, like you might have had maybe two or three defenders around you at times trying to keep you in bay and stop Michael Murphy having an impact. So when these rules were all being drawn out, did you put yourself in that situation where that's something a forward would have relished, a 1v1, and they're not being swamped by defenders?
I think you were trying to create a system, I suppose, but 1v1 does, or trying to get there. And listen, it's not ideal. You're not going to get 1v1. Even with this, I don't think we're going to get 1v1 all the time, you know, but it's going to be more difficult for, I think, a defending team to defend, you know, zonally with just clogging up the middle with bodies. It'll be a lot trickier to do that. And there's no doubt, like you look at the evidence, that when there's a game that's played more man on man, then it's a lot more higher pace. The ball is in action more. There's a lot more contests. There's a lot more kicking involved and around it. And generally, it can be quite a lot bit more exciting, you know. So the whole idea about that is a lot of these enhancements aren't to negate the defensive team, but a lot of them are really to try and promote teams that want to play quickly and play attacking, you know. So if you are that team and you want to do that, then there's real rewards out there for you in terms of the scoring. You know, if you really want to press after losing the ball, and instead of dropping back into your own defense and you want to really press high now, there's a good, better chance of you being able to do that because the goalkeeper is, I suppose, is limited towards staying towards his own goal. So whereas in the past before, if a team really wanted to press high, the team coming out with the ball could half come out with it, but at the same time, they knew there was that little safety option. They could turn around and give it back to the keeper, and then they could create that overload. That overload is not there. So really, a lot of these enhancements are really promoting the team that want to play, attacking football and on the front foot as such,
How much, at what level was the consideration for club football and all this, Michael, when you were going through the process?
Always there, constantly always there. There's no doubting about it. It becomes tricky, and probably the most tricky part on it was around the consideration around officiating. I suppose in the inter-county game, you have your referee, you have your two neutral linesmen, and then you have your umpires. It'd be a lot of the time, I suppose, in the club game, it can be just the referee in the middle on his own and that, So there's no doubt they've been involved. The referees have been involved in the whole consultation process. They've been consulted 2 to 3 times throughout the process. They've brought feedback into it at an early stage first that help us kind of shape or try to shape the enhancements that a little bit more clearly. And at the middle and at the end, they've been brought in too to just get their feedback. We've had referees involved in all of the sandbox games that are there too, and you're constantly getting feedback from them as regards to how it's operating, the challenges that are there. There's no doubt that the challenge around the keeping the three up, if you're a referee, and you're there in the middle on your own, and you're trying to referee the game whilst also trying to look behind you and keep the three up. That's a challenge that's been brought there to us. But with the penalties that are involved in that, what we're finding in the sandbox games is that nearly becomes self-policed by the players themselves, because the opposition players are able to bring to the attention that, listen, they don't have three up anymore, and the penalty is so severe in terms of you're giving up possession, and in the attack, a 13-meter free. If you don't adhere to that rule by keeping the three up within the 65. So what we found in the sandbox games, and it'll be interesting, obviously, this weekend, is that becomes self-policed, and just becomes a behaviour change for the teams in that regard,
You mentioned earlier, of course, the league campaign. If these rules are all put through on the 30th of November, when we get to see it in real competitive action, will be the league. A number of managers have already suggested that if they are through a pre-season competition, would have been the ideal time to test these before the competition gets underway. We don't have a McKenna Cup, and if the rules do come through, there will be a bit of frustration that you can understand with that, Michael.
100%. It's so funny. Like, I think as a GA community, have been probably, how would you say, we were fairly, not critical of the pre-season tournaments. I think for the last number of years, when we're looking at such a condensed fixture calendar of schools and college and underage and club football and split seasons, I think, the most general GA follower always looked at the pre-season inter-county games and says, you know what, if there's something could probably go, that could go. It's just probably a coincidence at this stage that, the time where we probably would all like to have a few more games to practice these rules for the teams to get their teeth stuck into and learn and train and coach around would probably be this year. So you can understand 100% the frustrations. That would be great to get 2 or 3 games under the belt prior to the National League. But, no doubt, and with the teams been back training now in the coming months, that there'll be still time for friendlies and trial games around that where they can really try and get their teeth stuck into them. And I think that's really where the magic's going to be, Yashin, is where whatever these enhancements do get through, and hopefully they all get through, it won't be until teams get a chance to play, do their video work around it, train during the week, and learn from it week on week. I think that's when we'll really see them being at their best and being stretched, really, is what you want to see too, to the nth degree in terms of that mid to latter stage of the league,
I don't want to be negative on it, but has there been any opposition to the proposed enhancements even before we see it on the field of play, Michael? Everybody's excited about watching this, and we want the game to evolve and move on. But always in situations like this, there is quarters where there is, I suppose, opposition to it. Have you found any of that yet?
Listen, you found it in some quarters, some really good piece of feedback that we've always taken, and it has amended some of the kind of enhancements that we wanted to bring forward, So I wouldn't say it was critical. It was just good, like, critiquing kind of the feedback, that we wanted to get. And there's no doubt that some people won't like some of them, and paper, it's the way it is with all rules and all games. We're not we're not too above our horse to understand that there is going to be the ways, but I just do think that they need to be given a chance. And I suppose some of the kind of key stakeholders that are involved in the consultation throughout it, even the players, for example. I knew when I was a player and I was playing, and I remember there was proposed change to the championship structures, and there was proposed change even to some playing rules too in the black card. And I was always, I'll be honest, put my hands up, I was always no, no, no to everything. As a player, I just didn't want anything to change, because really for the sole reason is I wanted to always be able to know what I was training for the following day. You know, I didn't want there to be this state of flux where there might be a difference of a new rule change. But it has been really enlightening with the feedback been provided by the players, the inter-county players and the club players, is that they want change, you know, that they are content and happy for there to be more change. And I think that speaks to the kind of overriding goal of this group, and the overriding goal of this committee, is we wanted to make this, you know, the most enjoyable game for the GAA spectators to watch, but we also wanted to make it an enjoyable game for the players to play. And whereas I suppose we were maybe more braced for more, you know, really negative feedback, maybe from players and inter-county managers and club managers around, that hasn't been probably the case to date. And as a result, that's been quite kind of enlightening to understand that, you know what, these people are at the cold face of it. They actually want change too. It's not just the spectator watching at home or in the sideline. It's actually the people on playing the game that want to change too. So there hasn't been loads of it, Ashton, but listen, it's been there in pockets definitely, but it's been good feedback for us to get, you know.
Okay. When I have you on, I'm gonna pin you on a few other things. Donegal against Derry, Ulster Championship draw, I suppose, in Ulster football, doesn't come much bigger at the moment than these two counties, Michael. And if you're going to throw in a couple of these new core enhancements, if they're put through in November as well, it's teeing this Ulster preliminary round tie up to be a cracker in Balbuffet.
Yeah, so it's always is. There's all, Ulster always seems to be able to pop up a few big first round games, and I suppose this is a preliminary round game for Donegal in this one, you know. So yeah, listen, it's going to be a huge tie. It's been I suppose a rivalry now that has kind of probably renewed itself over the last number of years with Ulster finals, and obviously the game last year, obviously in Celtic Park, the memorable game in that one. So listen, it's going to be a huge one. Donegal were on a huge upwards trajectory last year. You know, got to an All Ireland semi final, and probably on another day would have felt that they could probably have got to an All Ireland final, and be disappointed in that kind of regard. There's no doubt that Derry will be looking for revenge on Donegal, number one, but also I think there'll be an element within that whole playing group that they'll want to really answer a lot of questions with regard to where they're at themselves, you know, in terms of they started the year off unbelievably well last year, won the National League with the best team in Ireland, and you know, for various reasons that they'll want to try and answer this year, they'll only want to try and get in the horse and show that, you know what, they can get back there again. So listen, it's definitely one that whets the appetite, and no doubt for a lot. There's a lot of football even to be played before then when we look through the whole National League, but no doubt it'll be one that both teams will have in the back of their head and the horizon, you know, for early in the championship.
Yeah, it certainly will. And currently at the moment as well, St Union's crowned Donegal Senior Football Champions for a 16th time. They're now going to go to Ulster in a number of weeks' time. Listen, Michael, you were there and played in Ulster club football with Glenn Swilly. You've got a final against Ballinderry, if I'm right in saying, in one of those years that you've lifted the senior title as well. Ulster can be a difficult place for Donegal clubs. What do you think unions have to do if they're going to work their way, navigate their way through the Northern Province at club level?
Yeah, it's a funny one. You know, we probably hadn't had huge success or kind of really longevity in the competition, really. But I think over recent years, we probably have, obviously, with Gidor making runs. And, you know, I can think of them, thinking Glenfrey's making inroads for a number of years too. So, listen, with unions, really, you know, they have all the attributes that are needed within it. You know, you look around all the other games that are around Ulster, and I think there might have been always with the Donegal club teams, I don't know whether it was a mixture of, geez, we've got the county final on, brilliant, everything's a bonus from here on. And then there might have also been that maybe lack in ambition with the club teams here, just to say, you know what, you know, we can belong at this level. And I think It's only until maybe some teams put their head above the parapet and show that, you know what, we can do that. And, you know, Guido done that, to say, a number of years ago. And I think that gives other clubs in Donegal a kind of a confidence to say we can belong there. So going back to unions, there's no doubt they have the key attributes around it. You know, they've had a really strong year throughout the league, the whole way through to the championship this year. They've been the most consistent side, no doubting about it, in the county this year. They have the forward ability, they have the depth, something that's always been pointed towards unions, the ability for them to just continually have that depth of players. And no matter how many they miss out on, you know, from one year to the next, they can replace with another four or five all the time. So they have the depth, and I think they do have the characters and the leadership too, to like one of the ones after a county final, you need to enjoy it, and I'm sure they have, but then you also need to park it and get ready for that next one. So they have a big first round task. Throwing champions, if kind of memory serves me right, is who they're going to be playing. And they'll get a chance and opportunity to watch them, which is an added bonus. You know, they'll get a chance to get up there this weekend and get stuck into watching them and prepare and plot for them now from this weekend. So, big exciting one for them. Hope they can push on. I think it's always good for Donegal football to have people up there leading in your province, and I've no doubt unions can do that, and wish them well.
Listen, Michael, thanks for joining us this evening on The Score. You've got a busy weekend ahead of you, so you do, with these interprovincials, and we're all looking forward to it, so I'm sure you're excited about it.
Yeah, looking forward now to getting up tomorrow evening, and yeah, going to be four games with a few Donegal players playing in the Ulster squad too, which is great to see. And yeah, listen, be just good to go up there and get to see them for ourselves again with other players, and get the public, give them a chance to get to see and to understand what their feedback is. So yeah, not exciting in that regard, and as I say, we'll push on in that way.
Okay, listen, Michael, thanks for joining us this evening on The Score, and the best of luck this weekend.
Thanks, Arsene. Fair play.